Good afternoon, men. The topic that we're going to speak about today is one that a lot of us can relate to as men, and a lot of us that our wives and children can relate to also. I thank John Tice for changing topics with me, but it was a pretty easy sale because we're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. So he handed it over rather quickly, and I know that Rex probably wishes all sales were that easy because he was willing, but I know that it's God's will that I speak about this topic today. I think one of the reasons is that God surrounded me with women in my life. I have a wife, and I have two daughters. I had two nieces that lived with us for several months, and I had a female dog, and I've had a female cat, so I know that probably God selected me because of that. You know, the toilet seat was always down, the curling iron was always on, and there was never any toilet paper. So I can speak to this topic pretty well. But getting into the scriptures, this woman had an incurable condition causing her to bleed constantly, which excluded her from most social contacts. She desperately needed Jesus to heal her. But she knew that her bleeding would cause Jesus to be unclean under Jewish law if she touched him. Still, she reached out by faith, and that's the key word today, men, faith, and was healed. Sometimes we feel that our problems will keep us from God, and He is always ready to help, and we should never allow our fear to keep us from approaching Him. Jesus was not angry with the woman for touching Him. He knew that she had touched Him, but He stopped and asked who did it in order to teach her something about faith. And there's that word again. Although she was healed when she touched Him, Jesus said her faith caused the cure. Genuine faith involves action. Faith is not put into action. Faith not put into action is no faith at all. We can say that we have faith, but if we don't put into action, it's no faith at all. I was fortunate enough to be born again into a Bible-believing church. On November the 18th, 1979, my wife and I committed our lives to Christ. The song was Just As I Am, and I remember it as if it were yesterday. It was 11:45 a.m., and the message was being preached was with the woman with the issue of blood. I'm fortunate to have strong biblical teaching and preaching. A church that puts faith into action. I was taught to believe that all Scripture is inspired of God. And I was taught to believe that the effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. I was taught to come boldly upon the throne of grace in a time of need. And I was taught to be careful for nothing, but everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I was taught childlike faith, which instilled into me an insatiable desire to study and live God's Word. I was taught to put my faith into action. And remember that when much is given, much is expected. And I've been blessed, and I'm willing to give back because of that. I was taught to give thanks and praise always, in the good times and the bad times. And why is it easy for me to believe that? Because that's the way I started my walk. And for whatever reason, I have been under great teaching for many, many years. I love to study, and I love to serve. I love to trust God. I love to test God, and I love to give Him praise. And I love to apply the Scriptures to my life and to others' lives. See, what I found out about study, there's a lot of correlation between pizza and ice cream. The more you get, the more you want. You know what I mean? The more pizza you get, it seems like the more you want. And the more ice cream you get, it seems like the more that you want. And that's the way God's Word is. When He fills our heart with us and we continue to seek Him, then He blesses us so that we want to serve Him more. In John 20:21, the Father says He sent Jesus, and Jesus sends us. And that's the reason I'm standing for you today, and to speak what He wants us to hear today. Last week, John Tice asked us a question about what huddle meant to us and about Wednesdays, and I had already had that in my notes to ask that question, so I claim that that's a confirmation from the Lord that we need to look at why we're here, men. Is it just a good thing to do on Wednesday afternoon to come and to see our friends and to hear God's Word? Are we applying the truth of what we learn? Are we allowing the Word to get from the speaker's mouth to our ears, to our brain, and then flow down into our heart? Are we allowing that to happen where it transforms our lives? Or is it as a tinkling cymbal, it's just a kind of a good thing to happen? Well, there is a measure by that, and it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's long-suffering, and meekness, goodness, and patience. And if we have those things flowing out of our lives, that means that we're absorbing what God has for us, and we're able to make a difference in others' lives. I really believe, men, that God has always wanted to do something special in men's hearts. And it all started many years ago, and if you remember, when He brought into existence Promise Keepers. And then also, there's also a lot of other men's ministries like Huddle and the Great Banquet, Men Seeking God, men's Bible studies, and I really believe that God has something special for the men, and that's why we're assembled here, is to learn more about Him and to be able to apply that to our lives, and the accountability groups and the prayer partners that God allows us to have with all the different men. So He wants us to learn about forgiveness. He wants us to prefer one another. He wants us to bear each other's burdens. And He wants us to honor each other. He wants us to stand in the gap for each other. He wants us to actually take a chance on each other. He wants us to be mentors. He wants us to be accountable to each other. And one of the questions that we want to ask is, are we doers of the Word? Or are we just hearers of the Word? And I've got a scripture here that I want to read. Got a few of them. So be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This is found in James 1:22. It says, be ye doers of the Word. But whosoever looketh into the through the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetter hearer, but a doer of the Word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He actually wants us to put our faith into action, and He says that we will be blessed by doing that. Are Wednesdays making a difference in our lives? Do we really believe that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, Mother Mary? Do we believe that Jesus walked on water? Do you believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father waiting on us to be joined with Him? Do we really believe the story of Jonah? It sometimes goes beyond our imagination. And the parting of the Red Sea, See, me being a visual learner, I need to see things happen. So God allowed me to have three encounters with Him that I'm going to talk about. I've had lots of encounters, but these are the three particular ones that He led me to. The first experience happened in 1985, and it was with my dad. And see, guys, my dad contracted lung cancer, and he was a man about my size. And during this particular time, he had taken chemotherapy and radiation, and he was dwindled down. He weighed 116 pounds. And I tell you what, when it's your dad, it becomes very emotional for you. And I'll tell you, man, it'll take you to your knees. They had placed him in the hospital, and he wasn't doing very well, and I received a call, and they said, "Phil, your dad's not going to make it through the night." And so I said, okay, and obviously I could hardly speak when I called my pastor, and I called my sister-in-law, who's a prayer warrior, and my brother, and a couple other ladies, and my wife Barb and I. And we went to the hospital, and they had him, they brought him down, and it was so bad that he could just barely see his heartbeat. He had life support hooked up, just barely see him, and you knew that it was only a minute, whenever, a few moments, that he'd be gone. And we began to pray for him, and God brought to my remembrance this scripture. "Is many among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith," and there's that word, man, "shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven of him." So we began to pray for him, and a most astounding thing happened. It's just all of a sudden, he raised up and looked us in the eyes and said, "What in the world is going on here?" Now, the doctors had given up on him, but God had never given up on him. So that particular morning, we'd been up all night long, and that particular morning I was down in the waiting room waiting for them to transfer him up to his room so I could go up and spend some more time with him. And I began to cry out to the Lord, and I asked him, I said, "I don't understand. I just don't understand what's going on here. And I need you to speak to me. I need you to speak biblically to me." And this is what he said, and it's found in Psalms 30. "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, and I should not go down to the pit." And see, at that particular time, my dad wasn't saved. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and in favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And believe me, men, I had joy that particular morning because I was concerned about my salvation. I was concerned about my dad's salvation. Because I'd really only had a couple of conversations with him about it. And I tell you what, man, it taught me a huge lesson. It's taught me a huge, huge lesson. Because one of the things I purposed in my heart right then is I will never get caught in a position that I am not able to lead somebody to the Lord. Because, see, I'd had conversations with him before. Conversations like, "How you doing spiritually?" and kind of shallow stuff. How you if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Things like that, rather than getting down to the biblical truth of it. And so I prepared myself that after this particular incident that I would never allow that to happen to me. And God led me to another scripture. I lost my paper clip here. Anyway, it's the scripture that talks about that I've fought the fight and that there's laid up a treasure in heaven for me and for you and for each one of us that accepts Christ as our personal Savior. It's found in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. That was my first encounter. But anyway, he went on, and in a couple months he passed away. But I'm thankful to say that before he passed away, he received Christ as his personal Savior. I wish it were me that got that opportunity to lead him to the Lord, but it was not. It was a friend of his, which it doesn't really matter. But I'm so thankful that he answered our prayers in the emergency room that particular night. My second encounter was with my daughter, Tara. She was in the fifth grade, and she came home one day and she had a note, and it says that we have diagnosed your daughter with scoliosis. I didn't have a clue, men, what scoliosis was, but if you're not familiar with it, it's the curvature of the spine, and if it's not stopped, the progression of it, the spine can just eventually break. And so we began to pray about that, Barb and I. And we went to the best doctors around, a doctor by the name of Dr. Rabb. And he did the x-rays on her. And he said that at this particular time, she was 28 degrees out. Her spine, even to this day, looks like an S. It just looks like an S. Well, they began to explain to us what our alternatives was. And the number one would be to have surgery, which means that they take a bolt and they put it through the spine at the top, and they take a bolt and they put it through the spine at the bottom, and they crank it like a car jack until they get the spine as straight as they can get it. That scared me to death, because I visualized that it could break her spine and she'd be paralyzed the rest of her life. When they determine how long it's going to take before they do that, there's vertebrae. And when we go through a growth cycle, there's a white spot in between each of the vertebrae. So we began to monitor that, and we would go back in and we would watch it. And one day he told us, he said, it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. We need to put her in a full body cast. So what they did is they took a girl that was getting ready to go into puberty, the most sensitive time in her life, and they strapped her in a fiberglass plastic thing that went all the way down her and encased her, and she could only take it out when she went to bed. So that meant, as a girl in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, she had to go to school with that thing strapped on her. And it just really made me mad, guys, that my daughter had to wear that stupid thing. She was sensitive about it. The kids teased her about it. It was uncomfortable. And one day I just told her that we're going to claim the Lord's healing. And a friend of mine one day was preaching, and this is the topic that he preached on. It's what our topic is today, the woman with the issue of blood. And it was August the 21st, 1988, about 8 o'clock in the evening, and Max Whittup, who's a local preacher, and he's been to Huddle several times. He's on the road today and couldn't be here. But he preached about reaching out and touching the garment of Christ. And we decided that's what we're going to do. We're going to reach out and touch the Christ garment. And so that particular night, we went forward and we prayed over. And we really felt the presence of the Lord. So we began to monitor it more, and we took her back for more x-rays, and For some mysterious reason, those white gaps were gone. And see, they're only gone at the end of your growth cycle. She was 14, and our growth cycle is at least 18 to 20. Something mysterious happened, and I know that God intervened that particular night. And I looked at the doctor and I said, well, I'm going to ask you a question that I ask a lot of people when I'm talking to an expert. What would you do if it was your wife or your daughter? He said, I wouldn't have the surgery. I said, that's good enough for me. And so from that point on in 1988, we have trusted the Lord that He has healed her spine. Now her spine is still, but it never got any worse. It never got any better. She didn't have to have surgery. And if you were to see her today, you wouldn't know there was anything wrong with her. That was my second encounter with Christ. Another one was in the line of how doctors work. And I was on team. And if my gray hair recollects correctly, I was on team with Jim. And I'd been playing racquetball, and I pulled a calf muscle. And I said, I don't know if I can get up and down these steps for the great banquet. And so I had already gone to the doctor. And they'd already worked on me, and to make a long story short, they took needles and ran it in my calf, and there was a big hematoma there, and they drained out 7 vials of blood. And then I went to an acupuncture guy, and he did a cupping process on my knee on my calf, where you put a cup on it, you light a match, and it draws all the blood and inflammation out of it. And they put 7 of those on my calf, and you talk about excruciating pain, it was. But I believe that God used that along with the prayers. And I specifically remember Jim praying, God, we're asking you to heal this faster than you normally will be. We're asking you to heal this faster than it normally would take to heal it. And you know what? That was about 2 days before the banquet. And all of a sudden, my leg began to heal, and I was able to go through the banquet. And since then, I've not had any issues with it. But I believe that God used the doctors to heal us, to heal my calf. I could tell you experience after experience in this. But one of the things I want to caution you guys on, these are my encounters. These are my experiences with the Lord. And yours may be different. So I'm not saying take the cast off and throw it away. And I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm saying that by faith, we can be healed. Do we have the faith to reach out to Jesus, this garment, not only on physical healing, but on other aspects of our lives? Things like our finances. Things like our marriage, men. Things like our work and our occupation and our relationships and our children's and all of our needs. Do we have enough faith to reach out and grab the garment of Jesus on them? I pray, men, that the words spoken on Wednesday, no matter who's standing in here in the pulpit, and those words are anointed by this Holy Spirit, that as they're spoken, they get to our ears, and they get to our brain, and then they funnel down to our heart, and that we begin to bear fruit in our lives, and continue to bear fruit in our lives. And the question I want to ask you, men, are Wednesdays making a difference in our lives? Is your faith stronger today than it was a year ago? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your many blessings today, God, and I thank you for my encounters, Lord, and I know that there's men in this room could stand up and talk about their encounters, Lord. But right now, Father, we just ask you, as we table talk, Lord, that you would open up the hearts of each one of these men, Father, and that they'd be able to share experiences with each other, and through this time, Lord, that our faith would be grown because of what we've seen and what we've heard, Lord. God, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.